The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. I'm Spike O'Neill. Jake Skorheim sitting in for Jack Stein. Coming up this hour, no stupid questions. If you'd like to ask something of the show, maybe even Jake Skorheim. I'm not sure how interactive you are at Cairo Nights, but there may be things people want to know about you. You're about to have your fourth boy. What do you wear special that keeps you guys, from fathering boys? I would have liked to have known. Love to have a son.
If you guys want to know how to make a baby, Eddie, you text in, I'll tell you.
If you want to know where we stand on any issues, something you've always wondered about Cairo or the show, please go ahead right now on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476. That's 888-973-5476. We'll get to those at 1:45. All right, now let's talk a little bit about former President Trump's election interference slash hush money trial that is finally getting underway in New York City with jury selection.
So this was interesting. This is what a lot of people are talking about today. Two jurors had to be removed from the jury selection process.
Right. They had selected seven of the potential 12 of sitting jurors, six alternates, 18 needed.
So this is the trial happening in Manhattan. Yeah, they had two of the seven jurors already seated in the case have been removed. The first juror was excused after telling the New York Supreme Court justice, who's presiding over the trial, that people she knew had figured out her involvement in the case from media reports, which is obviously a very bad thing. Then another juror was removed early Thursday afternoon, that would be today, after prosecutors raised questions about his background. Let's talk about the first thing for a second. The juror who was excused because people she knew said, "Hey, we found out that
you're the one who's, yeah, it's you, isn't it?
This is something else, and maybe you can explain this to me, because I don't understand, you know, I don't understand the complex workings of our judicial system. Not a ton, maybe a tiny bit, but not a ton, but not much. I don't understand why on all the different news stations, I was watching CNN. It was actually in the studio the other night. Mm-hmm. CNN had something on, and they, you know, we have a couple of TVs in here. One's on Fox News, one's on CNN, so we get both extremes.
Yeah, otherwise the room will tip to one side like Fred Flintstone's car.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And they're both on mute, which is actually the best way to watch them. And so I'm watching CNN, and CNN is doing a story about these jurors. And they do, like, you know, you've seen, like, pictures of anonymous people. Like, mm-hmm. They'll be like, if they don't have a picture of the person, it's just like a
silhouette.
Yeah. A silhouette. Yeah. Like somebody who's in witness protection or something.
Right.
So they have this, like, silhouette, and then next to it, they had almost like an FBI profiler case. So, like, they're trying to tell you exactly who this person is without showing them to you.
Right.
So they have the silhouette, and then off to the side, they have all these bullet points. And above the silhouette, it said juror number six. And I'm sitting there watching, and it's like, what am I watching? Like, why do we know who these jurors are? And all the bullet points were describing very specific things about these jurors in this Trump trial that's happening mm-hmm. in Manhattan right now.
For what? Like, example, like what?
Okay, so here's an example. One, they said this juror is a tax attorney. In town it was.
They outed the town of this guy? They said
it was like in Brooklyn. He's a tax attorney in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And or wherever. I mean, like, wherever he was from. He's a tax attorney. He walks his dog. He's got a small dog that he walks. Like, no joke. Really specific things. He loves and this sounds like a joke that I'm telling you this, but it's not. The other one was like a type of food that they loved. I don't know how they got that information. And then the other one was married to a realtor. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if I'm a person who lives in Hoboken or wherever, I don't know the East Coast super well, but if I'm a person who lives in one of these areas and I go, wait a minute. Like, I know a guy who's a tax attorney. His wife's a realtor. He's got a little yappy dog and he loves, orange fruitcakes. I could probably guess who that person is. Why is CNN telling me all this information about these jurors? Why is it important for me to know that information?
I don't know. I think it's our craven need to be involved in the schadenfreude of watching all this and knowing them. We're just drive-bys. We're rubbernecking this jury selection process,
but isn't the whole point that a jury tends to be sequestered so that they cannot be intimidated by the public or somebody with a special interest in the case going one way or the other? And so when you have, like, and not just CNN, like Fox News was doing it too.
Everybody's doing it. I saw it on MSNBC. I saw it on CNN. Yeah, nobody's safe from this.
Is this all? Yeah, you know, I have not been actively watching the news for probably more than about 10 years, and I still very passively watch it. is this something that they have done for a long time? Like when there was other jury trials that were famous.
I mean, talk about the OJ trial, that one doctor, was it Murdoch or whatever it was, that thing. Nobody knew who the jurors were.
Until afterward. Yeah.
I think the reason they write their books. Exactly. And I think the reason that it's such a prominent concern or interest in this case is the actions of the former president and how he has gone after various judges or prosecutors. His whole MO for his entirety of his career, both entertainment and politics, has been never surrender, never admit defeat. You know, when he didn't win an Emmy, the Emmys were rigged. When he didn't win this, that was rigged. The elections were rigged. The court cases are rigged. The crooked. So his followers, former President Trump's followers, believe most of what he says, if not all of what he says, and they're losing faith in the judicial system. And there have been numerous instances where prosecutors have had physical violent threats, death threats against attorneys, against prosecutors, and now we worry against jurors. So that's why they're trying to keep these people anonymous so that they can
That's what I thought.
And that's what's supposed to be. And
the threats that you're referencing, I mean, that's not unique to Trump. I would imagine that happens. We just played public official threats earlier.
No, it is. People make threats against all the time. It's not good.
It's not right.
But I would put forth that the platform and the notoriety and the megaphone of Trump is unprecedented.
He certainly knows how to draw attention to himself.
There are free speech issues which need to be addressed, and he has the right to speak and to defend himself. But there comes a point where it's jury intimidation. Like this juror does, I don't want to be on this jury in case I get outed, and the followers, if I happen to weigh the evidence objectively and find that I feel the president committed these crimes and bring in a guilty vote from my juror seat,
yeah. Or am I safe? Or what if he didn't? What if this is a person in New York who goes like, you know, I listen to all the evidence against him.
We acquitted the guy, and here's the radical extreme left crazy people are going to come after me because I let this guy off the hook in their mind.
You know, the other
That's why you got to keep these jurors' identities secret.
The other interesting thing, too, about this is like you take something like OJ trial, which you referenced just a second ago. That was back in the, 94, 95 that 94. Was going on?
Yeah, well, the incident was 94, trial went in 95. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did not have social media back then.
Correct.
And so it was really up to the news to decide how much of that information they wanted to share with people. And if the news didn't share a ton of that information, and they did, they shared a lot of information, there'd be video and all that kind of stuff. But there would still not be a way for the general public, unless they're sending around like chain letters or something.
Right.
There wouldn't be a way for the general public to spread that information en masse.
Yeah. So like wildfire.
Yeah. So that it becomes a thing that people are talking about. But now on social media, which is like, you know, the devil's playground. I hate social media. Although you should check out my Instagram. There's a lot of fun stuff there. Without social media, that wouldn't be a thing today. But now it's such a massive thing that you actually have to worry about crazies who are on both sides. I mean, there's equal crazies on both sides.
There are. And there's foreign things. And there's foreign misinformation interference through social media.
And there's countries like Russia or China.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would step in and go like, hey, we would like to see him acquitted. We would like to see. And then they can, because they run TikTok, they then could say like, hey, we're only going to let stories filter up to the top that look one way or the other.
They load an algorithm up to get the stories in front of you. And in particular, voting districts in different regions. There was a story in 16 where various voting districts in key swing states were flooded with misinformation that originated from Russia. They had brought indictments about this. There were these Russian troll farms in St. Petersburg who had accounts that used to be Chuck America, veteran, motorcycle, Harley rider.
Yeah.
But it's a Russian troll.
Somewhere in Russia.
And you're right. Misinformation does go both ways. And we're talking about the jury selection in New York. Do you think that they've got a pool of like 5,000 potential jurors that they're looking to bring in to run through this incredible questionnaire about, you know, do you watch this media? Do you watch that media? Do you watch Fox? Are you a member of this social media platform? Are you a believer in, they were asking people, are you a true believer or was it Oath Keeper? A 3%er,
sure.
A boogaloo boy. They were screening potential jurors out.
Yeah.
Folks who cleared that hurdle get brought in, and then they get asked questions. And then, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with how the jury selection process, the voir dire process works out, right? They have unlimited challenges. Both sides, prosecution and defense, have unlimited challenges to jurors, who might be biased, who might be a Trump supporter, who might be a Trump hater, right? You know, a never Trumper. And they can divide. But the people who are qualified, who meet both sides and qualify, right? Both sides are happy with. Each side gets 10 random disqualifications. You've got 10 strikes to take out somebody. Because I just don't like to, I think he's full of it, you know?
Yeah.
So
this person's got a weird vibe to him.
I don't know how they're going to be able to find 12, 18 people who can put what they're believing. And then I look for people who don't know who he is, or even people who don't know, don't have an opinion of him. I think everybody's got an opinion about the former guy.
Yeah, that's
one way or the other.
That's his Achilles heel, is that he has spent his entire life drawing attention to himself.
Yeah, and
so in a situation
people,
like this, like if your question was, is there a situation where he could actually get a fair trial? I don't know that he actually could. If what qualifies that is that somebody who doesn't have an opinion about Trump,
a strongly held opinion,
sitting on the jury,
right,
or who maybe doesn't know much about the guy. Like, there's nobody who can sit there and be like, "Well, I don't know who he is because he's a former president." So that's everyone's going to know who he is. Are they going to have a thought on him? Probably. So, like, how do you weed those people out?
I don't know that you can. And there was a story yesterday about there was a gag order in place on the former president because of the things where he said, this judge is crooked, this judge's daughter does this, this assistant in a different case, in a different venue, the assistant is blah, 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 blah. And so they've told the former president that he can't speak about certain, you can't say the derogatory things about jurors, about court employees and their families. So yesterday, the guy from Fox News, Jesse Waters, put out an X or a tweet or whatever they call them these days, or a Truth Social, whatever. A post about, hey, they're disqualifying jurors, or these liberals are lying to the judge to get on the Trump jury, blah, blah, blah. And Trump reposted that on social media. That's how you taint a jury pool. I mean, that's what the judges have asked him not to do and instructed him, not just asked, instructed him not to do this part of his gag order.
It's like impossible.
These things are impossible. It's a crazy situation.
Did you hear that audio, since we're talking about juries and all these various trials? Did you know who Stephen A. Smith is?
I know who Stephen A. Smith is. Sports commentator.
I think he's on ESPN. He's phenomenally popular. He was saying all of these trials against Trump are not working to the Democrats' favor. He was basically saying,
"Can I have a little bit of it?"
Yeah, I have some audio here. I can play some. You're right. I shouldn't just paraphrase it. Why don't I let him speak for himself?
There we go.
Here it is. All right. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a disaster. Somebody needs to tell y'all, so I'm going to tell y'all. And I got liberals working for me who will remain nameless, you know, working on my staff and stuff like that. But without looking at them, I'm going to plead to them to understand where I'm coming from. I want to emphasize that I'm not absolving Trump from anything. I'm not trying to paint him as some good guy who's being victimized. That's not what this is about. What this is about is the end game. And people not willing to see the forest from the trees. Understanding the damage that can ultimately be caused. You want Trump gone? Beat him. Beat him. Period.
His point being that don't get him in court, get him at the ballot box.
Yeah, just, you know, like Biden is not, there's no, Biden's not on trial for anything right now.
Okay.
And so he's basically saying, I think if I'm accurately assessing what he's implying here, why don't you just let this be a good old fashioned political race instead of him being like, how many 34 criminal counts he has against him right now?
That's in New York. This is for the hush money, or some people say it's election interference. It's burying a story that would have influenced the election in 2016. 2 weeks before Election Day, the Trump campaign paid this person not to take their story public and coordinated with the National
Enquirer. You're talking about Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels or the other McDougal also to keep these two stories out of the public eye 2 weeks prior to the election, which people have the New York Attorney General is arguing is election interference and illegal election activities.
Yeah.
That's the federal charges as opposed to the misdemeanors of falsifying business records, saying it was an attorney fee as opposed to a hush money payment.
Yeah.
So to Stephen A. Smith's, you know, beat him at the ballot box. Don't beat him in the courtroom. It doesn't seem valid. But let me ask you this.
Yeah, yeah, please.
If I'm all for that. Let the people decide. Let the people vote. Do we deserve to have an informed electorate? If this president has been indicted on criminal charges, doesn't the public have a right, if not a necessity, to know whether or not this person did these crimes he's been accused of prior to Election Day?
Sure.
I mean, well, so then to Stephen A. Smith, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. I can't beat him at the ballot box if we aren't able to uncover the validity of any charges against him.
Well, I think what he's saying. And I agree with you. I think what he's saying, we should have a very well-informed public, for sure, which is why people listen to this show, so they can get informed.
I would hope we're doing our best.
So what I think he's saying, though, is that it's just too much. every single time you see Trump, he's being on. He's showing up for one of these various trials that he's got going
on. He's in Florida. He's in New York. He's in D.C.
Listen,
he's always
like,
in court.
You've heard like there's no such thing as bad press. This guy's getting a lot of press, and I'm not. I have a lot of family members. I have a lot of people in my life who I care deeply about who would vote for Trump. I know a lot of people in my life who would vote for Biden. I actually would prefer to not vote for either one of them.
Yeah, that's a lot of people feel that way too.
I don't love either of these choices. I wish that we had some, you know, I'm not an ageist, but I wish we had somebody who was, you know, maybe in their 60s or even young 70s. I mean, like, these guys are both very old guys.
A younger guy in their 60s or 70s. I'm with you.
A younger guy, yeah.
I'd vote for Barron. You know, he seems like a smart kid. Probably got a good education under his belt, right?
He's very tall.
Very tall.
People like tall people.
He's photogenic as the live long day.
I just, there's a lot of attention that Trump gets from these, and I think Stephen A. Smith is just saying, like, why don't you guys just let it be political? Let's let the people decide based on the politics. I can't fault him for what he's saying. I do think it feels like, because it starts to feel like a weaponization of the legal system, mm-hmm. because there's so much going against Trump right now, and it's all happening, and it has to happen. It feels like this, like, massive push right before the election.
Well, let's say it's right before the election because things have been delayed by the Trump campaign, the Trump defense. I should say the Trump defense. These things could have been in court a year ago.
Some of them could have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many of them could be far after. But
if you're innocent, I've always said that, and this is far afield, but if you're innocent, why are you delaying the trial? If you're innocent,
he is trying to run for the presidency of the United States.
Well, maybe he doesn't want this in the public eye before the election, much like the porn star and the Playboy centerfold. He didn't want those stories before the election.
There's a lot of stories that both sides don't want the election.
Give me a couple Biden stories he doesn't want out that he's buried before the election.
Hunter Biden one is probably the most famous one.
That was killed for one day.
That was killed for one day.
That story came out the next day.
No. It was killed for a long time ahead. You were literally not allowed to link to it. You would be suspended if you linked to it.
And why was it blocked? We should do this.
I'm giving you an example. That's a story that people said, like, this is important information. We would like
Biden
to know
story.
This information before Biden is elected president.
The laptop of his son, who wasn't an elected official, the laptop which was out of police custody, you know, if you have a chain of evidence works, the laptop that could have been contaminated with Russian disinformation, as has been their proven like
what
for
I'm going
for eons,
back to is what you were saying a moment ago, where you're saying that we should have a well-informed public.
Yeah, yeah.
And why are we stepping on stories?
We shouldn't step on either.
That's what I'm saying. Like, don't step on either story. Give everybody all the information. Let them decide for themselves.
I'm with you, buddy.
Younger people, for crying out loud.
I'm with you there, too. Stephen A. Smith, not to belabor this too much longer, but his saying is that you're driving people away from the Democratic Party by always hauling this guy into court.
Yes.
You think that's the case?
Do you think they're driving him away from the Democratic Party?
You think the Democratic voters are starting to feel sorry for Trump and feel that this has all been weaponized? That's lawfare against Trump.
I think there could be a sense that they feel like are the Democrats nervous that Biden can't beat Trump just in a straight off election? Do they need all of these court cases in order for Biden to beat Trump? And if that's the case, it makes Biden look weak. I think that's what Stephen A. Smith is saying.
That's a fair perspective on how to look at things. And as I offered in the initial conversation, was I think that we deserve a well-informed electorate.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're bringing Trump to trial just to bring him to trial. You're trying to bring out the facts of the cases and a decision on whether or not these allegations are true.
Here's my recommendation for future elections, if anybody cares. Neither of them should have a bunch of trials against them.
Fair.
They should also be able to give a speech in public without having to have a teleprompter in front of their, like, 2 feet in front of their face.
That's a really good idea.
It would be nice if they could talk to the public and answer questions. Things that presidents used to be able to do doesn't seem to be. We're kind of operating under new rules these days.
Yeah, and old rules.
And we're super
and old people. When we get back, thank you very much. Good job, buddy. We're going to play Cringe Your Base because a new home security system takes it to a whole nother level. And I, as somebody who likes home security, think this is probably not a bad idea, but you may hate it. It's the Jack and Spike Show with Jake Squire. I'm sitting in for Jack Stein. We'll be right back after these.
Cringe.
Sure, I was an anchor baby from the Irish.
Or based.
Making sound, make funny. Jack, like, laugh.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Squire, I'm in for Jack Stein today. We're going to play Cringe Your Base today because the story came across our news desk about home security and a new home security system that can not just identify, but maybe defend your home against intruders or even porch pirates.
Comes with its own deterrence, which I think sounds pretty cool.
So how's things work? It's got a camera, obviously, as they all do these days.
Yeah, it's called Paint Cam. And basically what it has is it's got a facial recognition system built into it.
Okay.
And so it will identify people who are not supposed to be on your property, and it will then shoot them with paintballs.
And is tear gas an option, I'm seeing, too?
It will also tear gas. I have a little... The company who's putting this together actually has an ad on YouTube, if you guys care at all. I'm going to play just a quick clip of this, and we can talk about whether or not we think this is a good idea.
Eve, an AI-powered robotic security system equipped with an integrated paintball launcher, face recognition, and sound dispatchers, which allows me to recognize intruders and stop them in their tracks. I am computed to examine my owner's property. Upon detecting unknown entities, I dispatch the message.
You are identified as a non-authorized personnel. You have 5 seconds to leave the property. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Zero compliance. Zero tolerance.
That splatter you're hearing is paint.
Paintball? Okay.
Yeah, it's not like they're not shooting them, but it's a paintball.
Okay.
So it's basically saying that we're going to protect your property and we're going to keep porch pirates away. Do you think something like this works? Do you think this is a good idea?
You know, I first off, I don't trust AI to know that, and I don't know who should be coming at my door.
Preaching to the choir.
You have every Amazon driver that comes to my house, which are over 400 now, I believe, if I've totaled them all up. Are they all going to get paintballed up? There's my wife right now.
I do imagine there is a way for them to identify, because there are so many, like, porch deliveries that happen now. I mean, like, I've gotten four notifications while we've been on the air that somebody has, coming, like, been up to my porch.
Yeah.
And I know that it's, you know, my wife's just ordering stuff.
So reading into the story here, it will alert you. You can be sitting on your couch, and if this AI monitoring system sees someone approaches you, they'll let you first off see it. And most doorbell security, with the rings or whatever, no endorsement here.
Yeah.
They'll send you a video to your phones. You can monitor what's going on.
Yeah. Right?
I'd like to be able to, you know, maybe shoot a paintball at somebody coming up to the door from afar, remotely.
The problem is that if it's asking, I mean, so is it asking you essentially like, oh, do you know this person? And if not, I'm gonna take a shot.
Yeah, well,
at
your
them.
Daughter shows up and there's a new looking guy with her, and all of a sudden, oh no, paintball him.
Do you have control of the paintball? Because that'd be sweet.
I think you do in this.
Oh, cool.
But there's a system where if it's you know, non-response, you have 5 seconds to comply. First off, I'd go with the RoboCop voice. That lady sounds wimpy.
Yeah, that
much
lady
wimpy
doesn't sound as
intimidating. To secure my home.
Yeah,
I'd want to freeze or I'll shoot paintballs.
Do you deal with porch pirates a lot?
Yeah, well, not too often, but we have lost a couple things to porch pirates because I've said this before. My wife does so much Amazoning, and I'm embarrassed by that because I do try to support local businesses every chance I get.
Well, you're lucky because Amazon's a local business.
Well, Amazon's building a distributor hub at the end of my street to save gas money. They come to my
house
we're so much.
Actually, put a conveyor belt that just goes
right
up to your
house.
Door.
I've got enough cardboard recycled through my house and Amazon to build a boat that would float to Europe.
Isn't it weird? Just a real quick aside. When I was a kid, the only time that we would get deliveries to the house was at Christmas time. We'd get these big brown boxes. I was so excited
afar.
From my grandparents or from my aunt and uncle down in California, whoever. Like, you know, I had no family that grew up near us. So we would always get these boxes and they would always be Christmas presents. It was so exciting. Just like nothing ever came in the mail. You would get mail in the mail.
Right.
You would get nothing else. And now everything that we get, like it's... My kids have zero care at all when something shows up at the door. There's like constantly strangers walking up to our house and they don't even think of it anymore.
A box or a stack of boxes outside our door when I get home.
I have like, do we have a little bench when you walk in our house? We have like a little bench where you sit down, take off your shoes or you know, just pile crap on it like happens. And it's just boxes. It's just Amazon boxes that my wife is like, take these downstairs to the recycle.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is for now. And I imagine that's the same in everybody's house.
At which means porch pirates have become an industry, a full-time industry. We've all seen the video of the glitter bombs that go off.
I love those.
You know, I got a friend who fills old Amazon boxes with it. He cleans his cat litter boxes and puts them in Amazon and sets them back on the porch
for
porch pirates to take them away.
They should do that. Like, that's what should be happening. I don't know that this...
tear gas paintball assault weapon.
How does this segment work? What is it? This is called cringer-based?
Cringer-based. Is
Can
it cringe?
Explain this to me?
Cringe means something that goes, it's cringeworthy. It makes you cringe. It's bad. That's bad. Or it's based. Based in reality and common sense. It's based.
Okay,
it's
cringe or based.
Based is good. Cringe is bad. So this high
I feel bad capacity, about this one. I feel cringe about this one. Just because I am with you that I don't trust AI. That's my own personal thing. I'm not trying to offend AI if it's listening, but I don't like AI. And I don't think that it's a good thing. And I think it's going to, you know, I'm very nervous about it.
I think I'd label this one cringe as well. I'd almost rather have somebody steal something off my porch more than once than have the wrong guy slapped with a paintball or a tear gas. You know, I'm all for the, hey, step away from the, but this is the point I'll try to close on this with. Oh, Nora's sitting for Laura today. What do you think? Do you have a home security system where you live, or you're probably an apartment dweller?
I'm in an apartment, so I don't, but...
You probably have a big front door that locks, right?
I do have a big front door that
secure
locks.
Secure building?
Yeah, secure building. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's pretty cringe, because I wouldn't want to make any enemies.
I wouldn't want to injure the wrong person. An innocent bystander gets paintballed or tear gassed because they're trying to bring a package to my door.
I'm not taking it back. I'm liking this idea more. As you're both describing not wanting to, like, ruffle any feathers, now I'm kind of thinking it's nice.
That you want this?
I don't want a lot of people coming up to my board, my door. I just don't. If it has a way to identify package deliverers, then I think that's great, because I don't want them getting shot with paintballs for delivering stuff that I want. I've ordered it. I want it at my house. But for other people that aren't supposed to be there, then I'm kind of questioning how anybody could not like this.
I think you know what works best for this kind of situation? A small yippy dog.
Throw your dog at him?
No, you see your dog barking at the front door.
Oh, just bark at him.
Yeah, barking at the door, man. I mean, I'd like a home security system that's got a big dog bark sound.
Maybe
they've got those.
Okay. You could add it to it. You could add it to it. If they persist, what if they touch the house, then they get shot with paintballs?
Paintballs then, yeah, if you're coming to the house.
Like, by
the
way, escalating levels, you know?
Do you know that porch pirates have taken to coming to the porch with a package in their hand for cover of that validity? They'll bring an empty package to your door and take one back with them.
God, they're clever. Tricky, clever guys, aren't they?
Are always one step ahead of the good guys, buddy. Always. When we come back, it's time for No Stupid Questions. We've got some great comments coming in, great questions coming in. It's still time to get one in.
Some are stupid. I've seen
some. Some are stupid. There are no stupid questions. Remember, and we got to be nice.
Really?
Sometimes we lose that prime directive to be nice.
All right, yeah.
These are people that care enough to text into the show.
Everybody's smart.
The Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line is 888-973-5476. We'll be right back after these. There are no stupid questions.
Only stupid answers.
Every day we test this theory that there are no stupid questions, and I'm a firm believer that there really aren't. People ask questions because they genuinely want to know. Sometimes questions are framed in a way and they try to be gotcha questions. And we don't dodge those. We run headlong into the abyss with those people. So here's one here. Spike, what does the Biden family sell to make millions and millions of dollars from foreign adversaries? That's right there is a loaded question. I don't know what the Biden family sells. And I don't know about millions and millions. I know they've done well as the Bidens. They're a family of privilege. They're a family of nepotism. But privilege and nepotism aren't illegal activities. Otherwise, a lot of people in politics wouldn't have the younger Bushes. You wouldn't have the younger Clintons. You wouldn't have the younger Trumps.
I do find it odd that politicians always get really rich in office. Like
they really do.
They tend to always do very well with the stock market. They're like really good at trading on the stock market.
And there should be laws against that.
There should be laws against that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's
I don't know what the Bidens sold to make their millions and millions from foreign adversaries. I say in air quotes because I'm not sure that's the case. I know what there has been any evidence presented that the Bidens didn't sell was influence in American policymaking. I think of the months-long Biden investigation, the impeachment inquiry that we've all sat through for the last few months. If evidence had been found through banking records that the Bidens had sold influence to the former vice president or president.
Are they still looking into the Hunter stuff, though? Because I know there was emails and stuff about 10% goes to the big guy. Aren't they still digging into that?
They're looking into it, but I don't know that we've looked into it for a year and a half now, 2 years now, if not longer. And if there was evidence that this led to show me where the policies were influenced, that influence was peddled, which is a crime, then I'm all for sending somebody to jail who's committed a crime.
Great.
Again, we don't dodge questions that we're not crazy about. The 206 says, at what point does peaceful protest become domestic terrorism? We've been talking about protests a lot in the last few days, weeks, months, because since the October 7th attack on Gaza, protests have become a part of almost seems like daily life in America.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Everywhere. So
it's big. It's also, and the reason why is because it gets clicks. People really like clicking on the stories. It's all over the news. When they're not talking about Trump trials, they're talking about protesters. Because yeah. People go, oh, look at these protesters.
When somebody blocks the Brooklyn Bridge or blocks the road to SeaTac to get your flight, or the Golden Gate Bridge was blocked the other day.
It kind of grabs your attention.
It kind of grabs your attention. I think it's a long way between peaceful protest and domestic terrorism. I think there's a few stops in the way, like civil disobedience.
There's nothing peaceful about
trespassing.
Like laying across the road and locking your arms in PVC pipe. We've talked about this just a little bit ago.
Those are crimes that people get locked up for.
They should be locked up for those. Absolutely.
But that's, I don't know if that qualifies as domestic terrorism.
Would it be domestic terrorism? That's a good question.
The definition of terrorism is acts of violence or intimidation for political purposes.
So like the Bakersfield, the pro-Palestinian protester who was speaking in front of the Bakersfield City Council.
And threatened physical violence.
Threatened to murder them if they didn't sign a ceasefire. I think that crosses terrorism.
I think, and to your question, listener, that's where the line crosses.
Yeah. When you threaten murder.
When you threaten physical violence, or I'll come to where you live. Intimidation.
Can I lighten this up for a second?
Please, please.
360 says, my boy's 21 months. How do I start potty training? I have done this many times. I have three sons. All of them pee on their own. Though that's pretty good. And I have a fourth boy on the way, so I have done a lot of potty training. What we did is we actually set up a kind of a reward system where if the kid got onto the toilet, went to the bathroom successfully, we would give them three Skittles. And they could go as many times as they want. So they're getting that, you know, it's like the Pavlov's dog. You know, it's like they get this idea that, when I go to the bathroom and I get used to telling my body to do this thing, I get a reward. And it worked for all three of them.
They ever fake it? They come in the bathroom, there's empty juice boxes in the toilet, and it's all full of yellows.
Well, no, what they would do, they haven't done that yet. That's a good idea, though. I hope they're not, they're in school. But what they would do is they would quickly flush the toilet, even if they hadn't gone to the bathroom.
So
they get three for a potty, and they get one for just trying.
Yeah.
And so they can try as much as they as long as they're on the toilet, eventually something's going to come out.
I had girls.
That's a good drop.
I never got to do the, do you ever do the Cheerios?
No.
The target practice?
No.
Oh, I remember, I've got a friend who raised boys, and he would throw, like, Cheerios in there.
Oh, target practice.
Target practice for the guys. That's more fun than just going to
the bathroom. That's a great idea. Right? I'm going to try that on the next one.
Here's one from Glenn and Duval. Jake, do you remember the date of the Dory Whistling Challenge? I cry laughing when I hear it, and I can't find it anymore. I don't know what this was.
I don't remember the specific date. I know that the audio is available. You might even be able to find it on MyNorthwest.com. But Dory prided himself as a very good whistler.
Yeah,
I'm always walking around whistling. So he challenged me to a whistle off one time. We had a whistle off on the air.
Yeah.
He totally lost it because he just like got flop sweat. He just like couldn't live up to the pressure.
No.
It was really funny because it was just like him having a breakdown on the air and laughing so hard and sweating because he couldn't like get whistle to come out. And I won, but my whistle's not great. What I found out years later is that Dory couldn't whistle. He was just so competitive that he thought he could beat me no matter what.
Oh, I love this.
And so like years later, I found out actually at his funeral, one of his dear friends came up and he goes, that was the funniest segment because I knew Dory was going to lose it. So Dory was just such a great radio professional. He knew how to be entertaining. He knew that his failure was still going to make good radio.
Nice.
So yeah, that was a whistle off.
We will text her. We will try to find that. We'll ask around the building if there's someone who can hunt that down for us. And if we find that, I wouldn't mind playing it again. If you wouldn't mind playing it.
Yeah, we can find it by the end of the show. Yeah.
All right, coming up in the next hour on the Jack and Spike Show with Jake Skorheim filling in. Let's talk about guaranteed income, the pros and cons of a guaranteed income, because we can give you examples where it's worked and where it's failed miserably, because let's talk about it coming back to both Pierce and King counties. And are mortgage rates so high that some folks just don't want to go shopping for a new home or can't afford to go shopping for a new home? We'll talk about all that and lots more right back after these.